and welcome to a Neuroscience episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight it's only a two-man show because our other co-host, Dirt, a.k.a. Doug, does he go by his real name on the show? I forget.
Nope. PCN_Dirt.
Yeah, PCN underscore Dirt. Yeah, I was like, there's another name he goes by. Yes, Twitter name at PCN underscore Dirt is getting prepared for the C2E2 comic book convention held in Chicago, Illinois this weekend. And our other co-host, Roddy Cat, is back on his schedule of having to work nights.
Night shift. He's got to make that money.
So you probably won't see him for the next couple episodes, but eventually he'll be back with us.
Got it.
And I'm joined by Agent 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
Agent underscore
That's 70. That's right. Agent underscore 70. Not an agent of nothing. Yes, we will talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week.
Yes, we can do that. And, of course, make sure to check Dirt's website out, popculturenetwork.com, and follow Roddy's news Twitter account at newsnerdsneed. And make sure to check our website out, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. As soon as I get back to doing comic book reviews, which hopefully will be this weekend, perhaps. It's been a busy couple last 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, it has.
Yeah, but things are settling back down now, so I should be, if not this week, then definitely next week, I should definitely be back on the reviews. Follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your Google circles. Just search for TheClickNation. Google Plus circles, I should say. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for TheClickNation. Give us those nice 5-star reviews and give us the thumbs up to help us move up the charts. Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find a post each week on theclicknation.com. And make sure to use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on Twitter and Facebook, especially Twitter. And if you use it, we'll make sure to read your tweets live on the air.
Hell yeah.
And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com.
Sounds good.
All right.
Oh, maybe we can talk about the Winter Soldier finally.
Oh, yeah, because we've just seen
it. A lot of catching up to do.
No one else.
Even if it's just a tag team. Right, I was about to say, even if it's just a tag team show this week, we can actually cover some of the things we've been putting off.
Yeah, I was about to say, where do you even start with it? It seems like it's been a while.
Well, you know what it is? It's been a while. I don't know if you want to hit the news or if you want to talk about Winter Soldier first.
Let's go ahead and get Winter Soldier out the way.
All right.
I did see it for a third time.
Oh, nice. Week. You got me beat. I've only got it 2 times under the belt. So did you pick up anything different after watching it the second and third time before we get into the meat of the reviews?
Second time, I made sure to – because for some reason, the first time I watched it, I missed the Stephen Strange reference.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I missed it.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, I was going to say, spoiler.
Spoiler alert. We are diving deep into the spoiler pool today.
So, and then also when the three helicarriers were getting ready to launch their weapons on the specified targets, I tried to read as many of the names on the screen as possible to see what Easter eggs were hidden. I'm surprised I haven't seen any like still photos appear online of, you know, of the still frames from the.
Maybe the bootlegs aren't that. Maybe the quality of the bootlegs aren't that good.
Yeah. But I was sitting too far back the third time. But actually, that probably was because third time I saw it in 3D, same as first time.
Okay.
But couldn't really see anything on the 3D, but 2D, the only one I made out was Anthony Stark.
Yeah, that one was easy because they put it right in the middle of Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
Stark Tower. So.
But I couldn't catch any other Easter eggs.
I thought I saw Banner, but I'm not 100% sure.
I saw someone online said that they saw Bruce Banner on there, which makes sense.
Right.
I guess I'm more curious to finding people names that haven't appeared in a Marvel Cinematic movie before.
It would be funny if I had thought hard enough about it and looked, you know, because obviously, you know, I'm familiar with the layout of Manhattan, and if they stick with Doctor Strange's normal neighborhood of Greenwich Village, I should have just kept my eyes focused on the Greenwich Village neighborhood to see if Stephen Strange pops up as a target on the inside targeting system, you know?
Right.
That would have been cool. I didn't even think of that. Maybe that'll be for the third time I go to watch it, right?
Part of me wants to start Googling to see if there actually are screenshots taken that people have put up online.
Yeah, maybe. You know, that might not be a bad idea. So, all right. So when I saw it the second time, I too was just trying to open up my eyes to see if there's something I missed the second time around. I just wanted to maybe rewatch some of the fight scenes, which I thought were well done, but at the same time, kind of like the camera work was a little choppy.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see if I could, you know, kind of absorb the choreography of the fight scenes better the second time around.
Fight scenes are definitely awesome.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're a step and a half above what we've seen in a Marvel movie so far, you know?
Right up there with the Avengers.
Yeah, definitely.
Best action movie for a Marvel movie.
Definitely.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I probably mentioned it before, but it made me more of a fan of Cap afterwards.
Good. Good. You know what? Let me start with like some of the basic movie review stuff. So in terms of the story, I thought that, you know, it had just enough of like that real world connection to make it relevant, but it didn't, you know, obviously, you know, you're talking about a satellite targeting system that's going to like kill like hundreds of thousands of people at once. Not exactly grounded in reality at this point. You know what I mean? But
is any of it really?
But in terms of like, you know, like the spying and the surveillance and, you know, like sacrificing freedom for security and stuff like that. Yeah, that stuff is relevant in today's day and age. So, you know, I could definitely see that. I thought Robert Redford played a very good bureaucratic villain.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the Winter Soldier, I think the Winter Soldier is going to be one of the most popular costumes at all the cons this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a popular one. Like, you hardly ever saw it before this. Now you're going to see it everywhere. Now, I think I saw some pictures from WonderCon online, I think on CBR, and there was already like a picture of a group of Winter Soldiers together. So, you know, get ready for that. You know, if you're going to any cons between now and the fall, you're going to see a whole bunch of them.
I think what else spoilery to discuss? Of course, it ties into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. TV, I mean, you know, this will flow right into the conversation of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So let me see if I can finish up with the movie. It was a nice introduction of Agent 13. It's very understated. You know, it's like what I appreciated about this movie is that
they didn't force feed anything.
Exactly. They didn't, you know, it's like the antithesis of Spider-Man 3 and what I'm worried about with Amazing Spider-Man 2, that they're throwing so many characters in at once and not, you know, giving anybody room to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think in the Cap movie, they definitely allowed, you know, they developed Black Widow more. They even developed Nick Fury more.
People are now clamoring more for a Black Widow solo film.
Listen, I think she can carry it. You know, I think the biggest problem is that the movie is going to be roughly original. I don't know what storylines or or arcs they can really base a movie off of. And I think Marvel's going to have a lot to say about that. You know, Marvel Comics, the publishing arm.
Yes.
You know, I think they're going to, I think that's going to be the movie if they decide to do a Black Widow movie where there really isn't much in the way of like published work where it's just her or where she's the focal point, where, you know, they can just adapt it. You know, like with Thor, right, we throw out like one of the characters that I think still has so much more untapped potential. They can tap the entire Simonson run. I'm waiting to see Beta Ray Bill once they throw, you know, Thor into space, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to because each movie is going to introduce more and more peripheral characters.
Right. So,
even though they haven't really done that with Thor, now that I think about it.
Right. So,
because there's only been two movies,
exactly,
but still.
Exactly. But, you know, but my point is, you know, there's still a lot to mine with even, you know, with even Thor. With Black Widow, on the other hand, I don't know if there's much in the way of, you know, pre-existing stories to really mine. So I think that's a challenge for Marvel to kind of come up with a good movie for her. You know, the publishing and the, you know, corporate synergy, right? The publishing and the movie arms working together.
Yeah. There's, I know there was that miniseries that Daniel Acuna did the art for. I can't think who the writer was for it. I've heard that was pretty good and people wanting that to be used. Right. This was sort of like an origin tale for Black Widow.
Right, right, right. You know, and finally settle once and for all how old she really is, right?
Yeah. Well, they gave her age in the movie.
Did they?
Yeah, they said they, I think when she was, when at the end when she showed up on the Capitol Hill or wherever she was.
Right.
I think she was born in 1980 something. I forget what it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Which is crazy because, you know, all longtime Marvel fans remember her like, you know, she was alive in World War II for some reason. Remember?
Well, yeah, that's sliding time scale.
Well, no, she had like some variant of like the Infinity Formula or something like that. I forget what the actual story is that kept her alive for this long, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got some tweets.
Oh, here you go.
Dirkika says they could use the Marvel Knights Black Widow story.
I might actually remember that. I probably have that, you know, buried in the collection.
And our own Roddy Cat says, I suspect Black Widow's book will inform some of what any movie will have.
Oh, the current book. That's a good point. They're probably trying to create stories now that'll be easier to adapt into movies.
And I was going to say one other thing.
About the movie? Oh, Chris Evans is definitely owning this role. You know? That bit with you know, where he gives the speech, you know, like the price of freedom is high.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a price I'm willing to pay. And I'm just like, yeah, Cap!
And we got to talk about Sam Wilson.
Oh, Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie.
Yeah. Pop
Doc.
He had the nice, retort to that speech. Like, did you write that down? Did you memorize it?
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. And what kind of crowd did you watch it with? Was it an appreciative crowd? Because the first time I watched it, like, it was pretty dead. The second time I watched it, the crowd was pretty live, and they laughed at all the jokes, and they got everything. Like, I mean, maybe it was more of a nerdy crowd the second time for me.
Basically, because, yeah, the first time I saw it, there was no one there. Second time, nice crowd, big crowd, afternoon matinee.
Gotcha.
And third time, it was empty. Gotcha. Actually, me and my girlfriend actually had to tell these kids in front of us to shut the hell up.
I had to kick somebody's chair because they had their phone on in the middle of the movie, and you know, it was like the screen was mad bright, and I was like, stop, turn it off.
Yeah, had to tell him to cut that shit out.
Exactly. All right, here we go. Oh, this is Dork Geekus tweets. It's like every time they meet up, we'll be psyched. Oh, wait, no, wait, this is old tweets. Sorry, my bad, old tweets.
So, I guess that sums it up, and of course, it looks like the third movie, Cap 3, will involve more Winter Soldier.
Yep, the hunt is on for the Winter Soldier. And we won't talk about the bonus scenes.
Yeah.
Yes, we will. What do you think of the bonus scene? the Avengers related bonus scene. What do you think of that?
It was cool. Saw Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Right, right. And it's revealed that Baron Wolfgang von Strucker is going to be a part of the Avengers sequel.
The only reason I know him is from the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes animated show. I know him, and I'm like, what's the difference between him? Difference between him and Baron Zemo?
Oh, they're different characters. Yeah,
they all called Baron.
Or he's right, because they're German. Because, well, remember there's Baron Blood too, who was a German agent who was a vampire. So
what's the difference?
Remember, you throw the Nazi, you know, you make them Nazis, and it's easy to, you know, to see them as villains. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like an easy route for comic writers to, you know, to go. It's like, oh wait, this guy's a Nazi villain, you know?
Now we've got a comment on Google Plus for the show.
Ooh.
From Michael, hopefully I said his last name right, Fifson. He says, Cap was always the star of his own book. He never needed a large cast for plot twists. And Black Widow needs a lot of extra cast and Easter eggs to make a movie.
That's a good thought.
Yeah, a lot of people debate whether or not, you know, can she, you know, even for her own solo book, can she, you know, hold the audience attention enough for the monthly series?
No, I agree. That's definitely the biggest question surrounding the character.
I'd like to see. I hate to be one of those guys, but I still don't know if a solo movie of her own would do that well. If it was like a larger cast of, like, you know, Hawkeye and maybe like introduce Mockingbird or something with, like, they just did the Avengers Confidential animated movie with Punisher and Hawkeye and.
Well, you know what? What's funny about this is that if they had really developed the KGB angle of the Winter Soldier, that could lead into a Black Widow movie and going into her training in the Red Room, because, you know, in the comics, the Winter Soldier, Bucky, was one of her trainers in the Red Room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because that's how Brubaker, I think, intertwined the Winter Soldier into the Black Widow's history. You know, and kind of created that relationship that they had for a good while in the books, especially when Cap was presumed dead, or, you know, he was lost in time, and Bucky was acting as Cap, and he was they developed this relationship with the Black Widow, and it was based off of their, you know, the chemistry that they developed when they were both Russian agents. So, you know, that would be, you know, that wouldn't be a bad Black Widow movie if they used that to develop the Winter Soldier. But I guess, like you said, they're going to put the Winter Soldier in Cap 3.
Anything else we want to finish up with?
Winter Soldier? We could go on and on, right? I can't wait for it to hit Blu-ray. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. I sound like Bart Scott, right? Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Oh, boy. All righty. So, how about we just quickly segue into Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it goes right, you know, kind of follows right from Winter Soldier. So the last couple of episodes of the most recent episodes of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have basically directly followed up on events in Captain America: The Winter Soldier movie. Hydra is afoot, and the demise, or the supposed demise, of S.H.I.E.L.D., my home agency, is being told in a parallel story in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And sleeper agents, Hydra sleeper agents, have basically been awoken and activated, and the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. section of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agency have been, people have been basically dropping left and right. Spoiler alert. If you're familiar with any named characters that have popped up, you know, Marvel named characters that have popped up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a lot of them have died. Victoria Hand, Eric Koenig. Like, really, they did Patton Oswalt like that?
Yeah, I caught that. I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't really watch it because I'm always just have it on in the background as I'm watching other or doing other stuff.
Right.
So, like, I caught out the corner of my eye his death, I suppose.
Right.
And I tweeted it Tuesday night, and people laughed at me because I said I didn't realize Fitz and Simmons weren't brother and sister. I just, when the show started, I just assumed they were brother and sister. Fitz being jealous of Triplett, I just thought that was like a, you know, the brother trying to protect his sister.
That's kind of awkward.
I was like, okay.
That's kind of awkward. Yeah, I mean, they definitely had that brother sister vibe, you know, kind of like that friendly, like semi platonic thing going on. But I guess, you know, they're trying to develop Fitz a little bit as a, you know, as a dude with balls. Yeah. You know, back to just very quickly, I wanted to mention, you know, one of my biggest criticisms of the show is that there's one too many British people, you know, that's part of your confusion too, right? It's like, why are there two British people on this team? And they're both scientists and they're not related. You know what I mean?
I'm just glad that, they've added another, hopefully they've added another non-white male on the show.
Yes. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And spoiler alert, they didn't mention who he's related to, but they said he is the grandson of a Howling Commando from Captain America: The First Avenger movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they did. So, and there was only one African American Howling Commando.
Gabe Jones, right? But no guarantee that it's him.
Yeah, it could be another.
Could be of mixed, right? He could be of mixed parentage.
That's true. He's Dum Dum Duggan's son. Or he's Black Nick Fury.
Oh, my goodness.
He's Nick Fury Jr.
That's funny. Imagine that. That's funny. So, yeah, I've enjoyed this show. I've definitely been one of its defenders. You know, I've had a critical eye towards it. But at the same time, I probably have given it a lot of slack because, you know, it is the first season. I think people had very weird and high expectations, kind of a mix of those two, about the show or, you know, for the show. So I was willing to give it a lot of slack. And I thought that they, I think they've done a good job, you know, developing some of the tertiary characters, Deathlok. And I like the fact that, spoiler alert, they tied in Agent Coulson's cellist in this too.
Yeah, we finally got introduced to it.
Right.
Or to her.
Exactly. And I thought that was a nice little, that was a nice little bow to tie on that story.
And there was also some death on.
Oh, Green Arrow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Green Arrow.
Oh, no, Arrow. I don't watch the show, so that's why I called it Green Arrow. So, spoiler alert.
Get it right.
That's right.
But that's all I'll say because I actually haven't watched last week's episode and kind of barely watched this week's.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, have some marathoning to do this weekend.
Oh, all right. Hopefully the weather's bad because if the weather's nice, we ain't sitting down. I'm watching TV.
Well, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, but I'm not sure what Saturday's gonna look like.
There you go. Okay.
I think that's it for the TV talk.
TV movie, yes. TV movie's done. Let's hit the news real quick. All righty, what do you got?
The news, let's see, the July 2014 solicits were released this week. So, had lots of, you know, news for upcoming books this summer from Marvel and DC.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of speculative speculation for at least a lot of DC books. they even jumped ahead to September 2014 and released Licits because that's their special month where they do the, I guess they're doing the, is it 3D covers again or something similar?
Oh, yes. Some kind of gimmick cover. That's just, you know, it gets this and this. Deserves it, you know what I mean? So, did you have a chance to read anything in the September solicits? And kind of, I didn't read, I think I read the September solicits before the July ones came out, right?
I think that's when they released them.
So,
or they released them early.
Right, so I didn't, you know, I wasn't that impressed. I mean, granted, I'm not a DC fanboy, but I was not impressed at the direction they're trying to go in this, like, what is it, the next phase of the New 52?
Yeah.
I'm not keen on this at all. So, you know, I definitely am not thrilled with this. I thought that the whole point of the New 52 was to was to uncomplicate things and to detangle some of the more crazy plot lines and threads that have been, you know, woven in the DC universe. And now they're just going and just throwing it all in, you know, throwing that multiversity stuff with Grant Morrison, right?
Yeah.
Throwing Batman Beyond and trying to tie it all together. Let's jump 5 years ahead and see where we are. And there's, you know, people dead and there's people, you know, there's teams that have changed the rosters. I'm like, really? Why can't this stuff happen organically?
Yeah, the whole multiple Earths thing doesn't really appeal to me. For some reason, like I said before,
realities. You
know, realities and universes I'm not right. crazy about, but possible futures, I'm here for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you on that. I do. So I'm not, you know, count me as one of I wouldn't say I'm a hater, but I'm definitely not thrilled with this direction. And it just seems like they're going further downhill. You know, it's like they're grasping at straws and trying to come up with something that's going to, you know, boost sales and boost interest. And I'm just not happy with this. Tell good stories. Tell uncomplicated stories. You know, sometimes the best big crossovers aren't that complicated. You know, you don't have to have a civil war. That's why I think that's why they're going Original Sin is supposed to be like not a simple murder mystery. No, they're never simple, but it's a very simple premise.
I remember anything stand out. The Marvel solicits, as far as like new series, there was like Spider-Man 2099.
Right.
And another one that's on the tip of my tongue right now. Let's read some tweets real quick. Dork Geekus, going back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he said, Agent Ward is such a lame, evil character. He seems so quirky and mechanical. He actually seems better now that we know
he does seem better, yeah.
He's evil.
Yeah, he does seem better now. Hail Hydra, they say.
Hail Hydra.
Never.
Let me actually open the solicit. Well, I didn't copy a link to any of the solicits. I'm trying to remember DC, off the top of my head, DC. It was more, I guess, Forever Evil Aftermath stuff. So there's that.
Right, because I think it's supposed to end in July now, right? Now that it's been solicited?
I thought it's end of May. It's supposed to.
Oh, end of May. Okay. So they're still doing Fallout. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Forever Evil number 7 got bumped up an extra dollar to $4.99. So enjoy that. Actually, in The Flash number 30 that came out this week is an aftermath of Forever Evil. So
is this?
Yeah. It doesn't really give anything away. Just, you know, how Central City is in chaos.
Symbols. Okay. I love it. All right. So
yes, the solicits are out. Go to your comic book news site of choice to give them a read.
Yep. So the next item of news I read and I was very disappointed by, because ultimately every iteration of the Batman cartoon is for a new audience. So when I read that Beware the Batman is returning to Cartoon Network, But there's a catch. I obviously clicked on it and I read it and I saw that it's being shown at 3 a.m. in the Toonami, like whatever, you know, block on Cartoon Network. So unless you're an insomniac or out, you know, or up late partying or you've got your DVR set, you ain't watching this anytime soon.
Training. Poor
man. You know? So it just kind of, you know, it's kind of disheartening to see, well, you know, we're going to throw this Batman cartoon that maybe didn't get the best reviews. I didn't mind it. I actually thought it was okay. It's not great. It's kind of hard to compare it to, you know, the animated series. But, you know, I didn't think it was that bad.
And Michael Fiveson on Google Plus says, you need to watch Arrow. Your entire family needs to watch Arrow. I actually have been. I was out of town last week, so that's the reason I fell behind. But, yes, I love Arrow. I actually enjoy Arrow more than
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, I'm not a big CW guy like Dirk. Not, you know, just not tuning into a CW show. So, you know, that's kind of like strike one, two, and three for me. But I respect that. Maybe I'll catch it on reruns or Netflix or something. Hey!
What? Oh, we have an intruder. Intruder, get out. Our show is being taken over.
Who goes there?
I am having some technical difficulties. I'm on my tablet right now instead of my laptop.
Okay.
So this could get very interesting.
Well, we hear you and see you, so.
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay. I don't have all my files and stuff, though, so I can't throw up all the covers.
Oh, no, that's fine. We haven't even gotten to the reviews yet because we've been busy talking about movies and TV.
Things I don't watch.
Well, have you watched The Winter Soldier yet?
No.
Okay, so we discussed that. And have you watched this week's Arrow or Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? So you didn't miss anything. So okay, welcome. Good. To the part of the show that you can, you know, contribute to.
Maybe.
So, let's say we talked about the solicits. We were just talking about Beware the Batman returning to Cartoon Network to be just into the 3 a.m. time slot.
Oh, boo.
Was it on Saturdays? Friday?
Yeah, I think so. Friday or Saturday, something like that. But it's at 3 a.m.
Well, they keep saying it's Saturday at 3 a.m., but I don't know if that means Friday night, like you stay up past midnight till 3 a.m., or Saturday night, you stay up past midnight till 3 a.m.
Right. If you want to be technical, it's probably Friday night going into Saturday.
Either way, it's not good.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a terrible time slot.
All right. So next on – well, I didn't post this news, so
Oh, let me see. Oh, yes, Marvel. So, this came out today. Marvel upgrades Marvel Unlimited and continues partnership with Comixology. It really wasn't too much in the article. It was like the interview was done before the announcement of the Amazon purchasing Comixology. So there's no talk of that. And they even talk about how Marvel Unlimited is offered free for the month of March. Well, not free, but for 99 cents the month of March. So it kind of lets you know when this thing was.
It's a little dated.
Yeah, a little dated. But they talk about the audio being offered in Marvel Unlimited and how Marvel AR is being offered in Marvel Unlimited.
Okay.
As Dirt shakes his head.
I'm not a fan of either of those.
Yeah. I had the Marvel Unlimited for that 1 month, and I actually didn't even try to use the AR or any of the audio.
All right.
And right before we recorded, last bit of news was, let me pull it up. Oh, so Cyborg has been cast in the Batman Superman
unnamed. What? Movie.
Ray Fisher.
Wow. So they're going to introduce Cyborg in this movie.
Yes, as some people start speculating on Twitter tonight, they're wondering if it's just Vic Stone is there and whatever battle happens during the movie causes him to be turned into Cyborg.
Wow. Wow. So. I mean, listen, I'm a fan of the character. And I like the idea that, you know, that Warner is trying to sow the seeds for a future JLA movie in this movie. You know, obviously based on the current incarnation of the Justice League movie, not Justice League book that is, you know, or at least the New 52 reboot. So
I want this movie to have a name.
Well, it's called Batman Superman.
No, it's not. It's not officially been called that.
Well, what would you like it to be called? Justice League.
So that's the last bit of news, I believe.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Did Dirt read any books this week?
A handful.
Okay. We shall see. This could be a test. We actually have someone comment on the Google Plus event. Adding on his 2 cents, Dirt. He also says, what he says now? Oh, Superman death plus the comic book cover gimmicks equals the burst of the comic book bubble.
Yes.
That was the, what do you call that, the speculator age?
Yep, the speculator bubble burst in the early 90s.
All right.
X-Men 1 didn't help a whole lot either.
That and X-Force number 1 being out at the same time, because those were two of the books I remember getting to help me on my way to collecting comics. Okay.
X-Men number 1.
I guess before we get into the reviews, is there any info you want to let people know about your journey to C2E2 this weekend, Dirk?
I'm not ready for it, but I'm leaving at like 6 in the morning.
He's leaving. All that.
Okay, so anyway, we're going up to the Chicago Comics Entertainment Expo. It's at McCormick Center in Chicago. We've got an interview set up with Scott Snyder.
Yes!
We've got an interview set up with...
Which Snyder you said? Scott or Zach?
No, Scott.
Snyder. Scott Snyder.
The good Snyder.
With Franco and Balthazar, the guys who do Tiny Titans.
Tiny Titans, yes.
Hellboy. There's a Greg Pak, his schedule, they keep fluctuating.
He's a busy guy now because of all the DC stuff he's writing and his creator roles.
They're like, you know, we're going to try to squeeze you in at some point, but we're not exactly sure. So
he is super cool.
Random call on my cell phone, just saying, hey, quick, meet us there.
Greg Pak is very cool. So, you know, I've spoken to him for a few minutes. He's very cool.
Are these going to be video interviews?
That's the plan. The plan as of right now is for all of them to be video, but it's going to kind of depend on exactly where we're at and how noisy it is and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But that's the hope. We're also meeting some people like Warpo Toys is a new toy company that's going to be up there. They're going to be showing off some stuff. Michael Allen Nelson, who he wrote Supergirl for a while. He did the 28 Days Later comic. He's going to be up there. We're going to meet with him at some point. We right now just have a, basically like an agreement that we will meet at some point, but we don't know exactly when and where and how and all that stuff yet. So that's just going to be kind of one of those things also where we just kind of get up there and then we figure it out once we're up there. I'm trying to think, there was someone else that we had lined up. And of course, like right now that I'm trying to talk about, I'm trying to pull up my mailbox. My mailbox is being all screwy.
Yeah.
And See, where's that? Here we go. I think this is it. Oh, and then we got an email from Marvel, but we haven't been able to actually connect with them as of yet. Brian Azzarello and Dan Jurgens.
Nice.
We're going to be talking to them on Friday also.
Nice.
Charles Soule.
How is he fitting this into his schedule? The man has no life. He's got his work. He's got his law practice. He's got this. He's going to C2E2. Although he did cancel on special edition NYC. He's not going to be at the Reed Pop show, the special comic show in the summer.
Yeah. Well, Tomasai is going to be there, but we're not going to be able to meet with him. The schedule thing just didn't work out. Tony Daniel, we tried to work something out with, but because of the scheduling, it just didn't work out. So, maybe we can stop by like Artist Alley or something and just get a few words with him. But at least, we've got a handful of guys that at least we're going to be able to sit down, one-on-one and at least talk to him for a while. And one of the interview places was like, I forget who it was, but they're like, well, we can probably give you an hour, but we probably can't give you any more than that.
Wow. Like,
I think an hour will be fine.
That's a long time.
It is. So.
Give me 30 minutes. We'll be good.
So we'll see. No, it's going to be 5 minutes of me going, hey, you remember that one time that Batman punched that guy? That was cool. So anyway, we got that stuff going on. We're going to be meeting with the Nerd City guys. They always do a panel, and then they go out and get drunk and do a party downtown Chicago. So we're going to be doing all that, too. And we've got a two-bedroom suite at the Sheraton right on the river running through downtown Chicago. So hopefully we'll have a good view, a good backdrop. We're going to film reviews of random stuff we pick up, convention exclusives, and whatever kind of random stuff that we can film while we're up there. So we're hoping the internet connection should be good enough that we can upload videos while we're in there. Sometimes in the hotel, the Wi-Fi isn't the greatest. It'll take you like 3 hours to upload a 10-minute video. But
yeah, but why not I was about to say, make sure you bring an Ethernet cable and you can just plug in Harmon.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on how their setup is, but
at least a lot of the hotels I've stayed in have the hard line. You just plug in.
Well, we're hoping it's a 2-bedroom suite, so it should be fairly nice. Two king size beds. Of course, there's 4 of us up there, so we're still going to be, fucking up. But yeah,
just bragging about staying on the river and suite this and suite that.
It's going to be nice.
It should be.
So anyway, stay tuned, popculturenetwork.com.
Nice.
Yep. And with that, let's get to reviewing a couple of books this week. Where do we want to start? Oh, I know where I want to start. Let's keep dirt talking. I'm assuming you read Secret Origin #1.
I did. It was fine. I don't think we really got any new information, except for maybe Dick Grayson. You kind of got an idea of his updated origin, which really wasn't all that different from what it was before, but you just kind of see how it's, there's some subtle shifts in there. You saw Supergirl, but you kind of knew all of that if you read her title. All the stuff about Superman, you pretty much got all that stuff in Action Comics and a lot of the backup stories, but I guess the one thing that it's really nice is that it kind of compressed it all down. Mm-hmm. So if you hadn't been reading all of those books, you can just pick up the first issue of Secret Origins, and you got Dick Grayson, you got Superman, you got Supergirl, and it's all just kind of in one spot, so you don't have to go hunt it all back down. So at least that's pretty nice as far as that goes. But, I mean, there wasn't anything that really stood out to me as, like, earth-shaking, new revelation, oh my gosh, I didn't understand that, whatever before. But I think for the most part, it's just, it's kind of like a reference material more than anything that's really, super out there exciting, but it is a great thing for new people trying to jump on board. If you hadn't really been following Superman or Action in the New 52 and you're just kind of wondering, what's up, you can at least, grab this and kind of get that history.
Okay. I believe Agent 70 and myself can talk about this next book from Marvel, Original Sin number 0.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Let me find what I jotted down for it.
We definitely see a lot more background on Uatu the Watcher than we've ever seen before.
Yeah, I said that it's a great, it's very new reader friendly.
If you're new
to,
contrary to the to one of the other 0 issues this month that this week that I'll talk about later.
Yeah, so you get familiar with the Watcher and Nova,
right?
And a couple of random stuff throughout the Marvel Universe. Nova is your point of view character who is the one going around asking questions like, "Hey, how come the Watcher is always showing up surveying stuff?
Right. What is it? When big things happen, right?"
And he goes up to the moon to ask him these things, and he doesn't really get any answers. Oh, and it seems like Nova's helmet, or Nova period, now has his own version of spider sense, helmet sense.
Right.
My helmet sense is tingling. exposition is afoot. Plot devices are afoot.
That's right.
So we get a couple of hints of hints of things to come in Original Sin, or things that should tie into the Original Sin event. We see the Watcher's weapons vault, where they make sure to point out the ultimate nullifier, which I've only heard of that, and I've never actually read a comic book that has it featured in it, because I didn't read a lot of Avenger.
You mean Fantastic Four?
Or Fantastic Four stuff in the 80s and 90s, when I'm assuming that was created by the 70s.
60s.
Oh, even longer ago.
First appearance, Fantastic Four number 50, right? First appearance of, wasn't that the Galactus story?
I don't know.
I gotta go back and double check. But, that's how they defeated Galactus. Is that the Watcher actually helped the Human Torch retrieve the ultimate nullifier from Galactus's world ship and brought it back. And Reed Richards basically sticks the nullifier in Galactus's face. He's like, "Hey, man, I mean, I know how to use this, but you're scared of it, so you need to back up. You need to back up and leave Earth."
Roddy Cat says, Original Sin number 0 is his click of the week.
Nice.
Plus, now he wants to read Nova, which you should be doing.
Nova's been pretty good last few issues. I've really enjoyed it.
The last issue.
The Beta Ray Bill storyline. It's gone, 3 issues now?
Right.
I think. And I've enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah. Been fun. The arc with Beta Ray Bill just ended, so, and it's even, I forget how many issues it's into right now, but it should be easy to kind of just jump in and understand what's going on. You haven't really missed much.
Right. I think they did I'm still learning how to use my powers and still deal with all my social problems. That's been going on for a long time now. What issue number are they up to? They're in the upper teens now, right?
Yeah.
So it's been going on for a while.
Something, anything else from Original Sin? It was done by Mark Waid and Jim Chung with assist by Paco Medina.
The art was definitely a highlight.
And I was like, I couldn't find out where Paco Medina did any of the art, but then I saw a Tom Brevoort interview on Newsarama where he said he only did 4 panels or 4 pages. I forget which one. It was something short.
Right.
So, and then Original Sin number 1 starts next week.
Bah, bah, bah.
Did you read it yet, by the way?
Not yet.
I'll get to it.
Dirt has thoughts.
Uh-oh. Someone's been reading ahead.
I mean, It's there for us to read.
Exactly.
It will be reviewed, and there will be a written review of it next week.
It's been there for you to read for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Hey.
Can we not talk about that?
I'm playing catch up.
Same here. I try to still maintain some level of, you know, wonder when I when it's like week to week, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm still reading some of the DC stuff from last week. I still haven't read Sinestro number one.
Oh, I haven't gotten that either. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was okay.
That's what I figured, but all right, yeah.
All right, what's next?
I'll do The Flash number 30.
All right, go ahead.
So this is with the new creative team of Van Jensen and Robert Venditti co-writing and Brett Booth art. And it takes place after after Forever Evil.
Did something just
happen? No, my dog got up and I guess was coughing.
Oh.
He's got a little diarrhea issue going on, so I gotta watch.
Oh, too much information. Oh,
nice.
Too much information.
I was making sure he wasn't about to throw up. Hopefully that's not what he's about to do. Now he's getting back in his bed. Okay. All is well. As St. Walker would say. So yeah, I got my doggy. Had him for a week and a half, and then I had to board him for like 6 days and got him back, and his whole schedule is messed up and he's all anxiety'd up. And so I got some pills from the vet today. So
I got some.
Hopefully to calm his tummy down.
You got to medicate him. I gotcha.
Well, yeah, for his diarrhea.
Gotcha. I thought you had to medicate him for being anxious.
He's actually kind of calm now. Like, I think he realizes he's back with me and back to my schedule. So hopefully he'll be straight by Saturday.
Just give him a beer. He'll be okay.
Give him a beer. But back to The Flash. So it takes place after Forever Evil, and it's basically him trying to deal with the aftermath of how Central City was in ruins, and him trying to rush around and save and help everyone, and everyone like mad that he wasn't there to say help them before, because you know he was in the firestorm. He was
trapped in the firestorm matrix.
And we see the future Flash in the blue suit, and we get teases of Wally West, which will continue in the Flash annual number 3, where I think we get the full introduction to Wally West.
I think that's next week.
Yep.
All right.
But did you like it?
I did, because I'm a Brett Booth fan for one. And I don't know, it was a fun book. Like the writing, it's like Van Jensen has a background as a investigative reporter, I think. Or working with crime division or something like that, some crime division writing. So that should work well with Barry Allen. Wally West's introduction has me intrigued, and hopefully they have some good stuff planned. I've actually been debating dropping the Green Lantern books because like I read them, but I'm not really enjoying this whole Derlin storyline and this war that they got going on. I like Green Lantern Corps, even though the same stuff is going on in that. I like Red Lantern, so I'm going to keep reading that regardless, and I have to see how Sinestro is. But, yeah. But hopefully I'll enjoy their Flash run.
All right. Cool.
Who wants to go?
All right, I'll throw out what's like, I can't even come up with a good term for the non-click of the week. Because I had such a hard time reading Justice League United number 0 that, you know, I kind of did it in out of spite. I just kind of kept flipping through the pages like it's got to get better. It's got to get better. And it just never did. Speaking of original sin, you know, characterizing Original Sin number 0 as very reader friendly. So what we've got here is the exact opposite of new reader friendly. That was Justice League United number 0. I can't imagine anyone picking that up as their first comic and wanting to ever read another comic book. That's a glaring indictment of the poor quality of this book and the story. So, I was just very disenchanted by the whole thing. I don't know if I'm even going to give Justice League United number one a try after reading number zero.
Why did they do a zero issue, by the way?
Not 100% sure. Would you know?
I couldn't tell you why it's a zero. I don't know why. I thought the story was okay. I mean, really, it's a bridge just to pull you from Justice League of America into Justice League United. But I felt there wasn't really any good hook to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of there. It was just stuff was happening and people were reacting to it, but it didn't really feel like there was any great involvement that you had with any particular character. There was nothing that really pulled you through the story in any, grand manner. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate it, and I wouldn't say it was the worst thing I read this week, but it certainly wasn't necessarily anything that made me excited for the series.
You would consider yourself more familiar with the Justice League of America book than I. Yeah. So, you probably were able to pick up on where the characters may have been left off, like pre-4 or right before Forever Evil. So maybe it was a bit easier to follow. But like I said, consider me one of the brand new readers. And, I don't think I've read a Justice League of America book since they first launched. And now I'm trying to figure out where they are now. And it's impossible to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
I do like that. I'm just assuming this, but it seems I picture Justice League United being more fun book than Justice League and even Justice League of America was. Like, for some reason, I picture it off on its own, doing its own thing to probably eventually get tied into whatever big event comes and all the Justice League. Trinity War with the new Justice Leagues and whatnot.
I always thought that was what Justice League Dark was for, is like kind of doing kind of offbeat things, you know what I mean?
I think part of the problem is that Justice League of America, the whole key to that series was that the government was trying to build their own team in case they ever needed to take down the Justice League, because they didn't control the Justice League, they didn't trust them. Right. So they were trying to build their own team. So that whole team was built as a shadow of Justice League. So the whole point was it wasn't Justice League. It was an imitation.
Right.
And so with this new book, they're trying to bring together heroes in order to form a team that's a little more organic and it makes a little more sense. But the problem is the whole point of Justice League is that – that is the book of the heavy hitters.
Right.
Those are your key marquee characters. And when you do a second Justice League book that doesn't have any of those people in it, then suddenly it's all B team. It's right. All the also ran characters. And so you really have to have something that makes it feel important, because the characters aren't going to do it on their own. None of those characters are important enough to really make you, freak out and want to read it. And the other problem was, like Supergirl is on the cover as being one of those characters, and she's not in the book at all. And on the cover, they show her in her original outfit. We all know right now she's a Red Lantern,
right,
flying around in space. So again, you're kind of dealing with these problems of how does this all fit together? Is this an editorial mistake at some point because this book has been cooking for so long before it finally actually came out? Is something going to happen in Supergirl and suddenly she's not a Red Lantern, like super quick, something, from Forever Evil or whatever, like, you don't know, but it's just one of those things where it just sits there and you're not really sure how it's supposed to fit in. And you almost kind of get the feeling like you're not really going to find out. Like, it's just kind of going to ignore stuff for a while until they have to cross over again.
Yeah.
I want to bring up how the whole point of Justice League America was to take down the Justice League, and they never even played that up.
Well, I think they did in a couple of instances, but that's it,
I mean, the first few issues were built around the idea that Steve Trevor, the former boyfriend of Wonder Woman,
Right.
Was leading this group headed by Amanda Waller, secretly trying to build this team just in case they needed to bring down the Justice League. And that was kind of the pull going into Trinity War, was that they would go face-to-face, which they didn't exactly quite do because Trinity War didn't exactly work out that way. But
right. Yeah.
But that was the idea behind, why do you need another team? You know, because you did have Justice League International that came before that, and that was, again, a government trying to build a team, but only for PR purposes. And then Justice League of America was trying to build it to counteract them. So now you've got Justice League United, and this one just feels like, hey, the B team needs something to do on weekends. So, you know, here's their group. But I still wouldn't say it's the worst book that came out this week.
No, I wonder which book you would characterize to be.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a book that was my click of the week several times.
Oh, tease. I don't know exactly what that is yet, so I'll wait till later.
All righty. Throw out a book, Tim.
Avengers Undercover number 3.
Okay.
There was a moment in the book that's the game changer, at least for how the series should go. Dealing with the kid, the survivors of Murder World confront Arcade in Begalia. They had a fill-in artist, Timothy Green III, I think his name is. He did some of the fill-in issues on Avengers Arena. And his art actually looks a little better this time around. But it was a nice, fun book. That's about all I can really say about it. I want to see where it goes after the development at the end.
Nice.
Did anyone read Guardians of the Galaxy number 14? AKA the 100th issue?
Didn't get to it.
Yeah.
I saw that the backup story in it has to do with the other Guardians of the Galaxy team.
Like, yeah, which I don't know too much about since I'm behind on that. I tried to go back and read the Abnett and Lanning era. I think I'm on like issue 6. That was last year.
We're talking about even before that, right? We're talking about like
the 90s series.
Yeah. And like Charlie 27 and the dude with the fin on his head.
there was the fake Captain America guy, the dude with the fin on his head. There was some green alien person and a whole bunch of other members of the team that we've forgotten.
Right.
I do want to point out that I'm glad that it finally seems like the book is like has its footing and it's leading somewhere. It's like they're finally telling their own story and they're not piggybacking on like crossovers that they were involved in, like Infinity and Trial of Jean Grey. And all it took was planting some seeds for future stories.
That's the problem they have a lot of times with their space books, is that they want you to remember that those space characters are connected to the regular Marvel universe, but then they get caught in so many crossovers that they are. That's what happened with the old Nova series from 5 years ago. It was a great series when it had the ability to tell its own stories, but every 3 or 4 months it was in some sort of War of Kings, Annihilation, you know, whatever, where it crossed over with a bunch of other books. So it was like every time it got rolling into a good story, it was pulled off into some sort of crossover. So,
well,
I'm afraid that Guardians is going to do the same thing.
What I was going to say is I have a mild counter argument to that, because I thought a lot of those crossovers were really well done. You know, maybe not War of Kings, but Annihilation. You know, those particular crossovers were done pretty well, and they did a lot to develop the Richard Rider Nova character.
They were good stories, but they took away from the Nova core. And the whole point of that series, it was building up the Nova core and building
up. He was reestablishing the core, right?
Making their own Green Lantern core, basically, with the Novas.
Right. Right.
And it seemed like every several months, it's like you had to pull him out and make him go off and deal with something, and you just kind of forgot about the other guys for a while until he went back.
I got you. I see that.
I will say, you actually probably need to read next week's free comic book day issue of Guardians of the Galaxy. from Marvel before you read this one, because Venom's already a member of the team in this book. I think he gets introduced in that new comic. And I complained on Twitter. I had like one tweet complaining how Bendis has Venom / Flash Thompson as the wide-eyed rookie who acts like he's never seen anything before, and he's the bumbling rookie, which I wasn't crazy about.
Well, he is, in a sense, to space. I mean,
yeah, he can be like, you know, in awe of being out in space, but like him and Drax go on a mission, I guess, together. And he's all like asking all these questions and acting like he doesn't know how to handle himself.
In space.
I mean, he was a member of Thunderbolts. They did wacky stuff there.
Well, I guess.
He wasn't acting all like, I don't know what to do. What'd you say to me? So, yeah.
I got you. All right. And
new artist Nick Bradshaw is on the creative team now. I was kind of like, eh, to him. But actually, I wasn't super crazy about his Wolverine to X-Men work, but this issue here wasn't so bad. At least the pages he did.
Okay. All right. Sir, what else did you read this week?
Read Aquaman.
I tried to read that. I did not get a chance to finish it.
The arc is over, so...
Okay, good. No more Hercules?
Yeah, no more Hercules.
Oh, jeez, because that's what killed me on the last issue.
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was okay. You know, the last one was certainly disappointing when they started the story, so
right. At
least this ended and kind of felt like, whew, at least it's over now, you know? It does set up for a crossover with Aquaman and Wonder Woman going forward, and that's going to happen, I guess, in the annual.
Right.
And so I think I felt better about the book when it was over. You know, when I got done reading it, I was like, okay, well, this stupid chapter has been put behind, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to what's coming next. So I guess on the one hand, it was good, even though on the other hand, it was, you know, part of that stupid storyline that nobody cared about. But
Do I need to continue reading Aquaman?
You'll probably skip over these last couple issues. That's the truth.
Actually, I will say this. They did some stuff with Mira in Atlantis that was actually pretty interesting. And I'm actually looking forward to how they follow that up. So even though the main plot line I felt was kind of disappointing, the subplot was actually pretty good. And then, like I said, where it's going to next, it has me somewhat excited.
Right, and then we see what happens in the solicits, you know, 5 years down the road, you know, speaking of Mira. So, you know, I think we're seeing some of the groundwork being laid.
Yeah.
The only issue, since Jeff Parker took over, the only issue I've enjoyed was the high school reunion one.
That was really good.
No, that was awesome.
But everything else, that and Green Lanterns might get on the chopping block for me. Got me time for other stuff.
All right. How about, I think, Tim, you also read Uncanny Avengers number 19.
Yep, and that'd be the last book I'll be able to talk about tonight.
Well, how about this? Let me throw out some other books.
We can go ahead and get that one out the way.
You want to get it out of the way? Okay.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed this book because it's finally, you know, some of the stories, I mean, some of the threads that Remender's been weaving for this book era are finally coming to a head. And it's nice to see the story kind of gaining steam to reach its conclusion. And I'm pretty excited to see that.
I like that, you know, Remender's doing this long game of, you know, how he's built this story up. But, you know, even though it has taken a long time, I'm glad that he is at least showing us things, such, you know, displaying where the story is going, like Kang and his Kronos core. He tells Alex Summers, aka Havoc, his plan of how they're gonna save the Earth, and there's no like hemming and hawing and like vague references of what they're gonna do. He flat out says what their plan is.
Right
now, whether that's the truth or he's lying, that remains to be seen. But, I mean, at least we got something.
Right. And that Kronos Core, man, that's a shout out to every alternate reality, you know, alternate future story that we've read in the last like 20 to 25 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's kind of cool to see.
But, yeah, so yeah, I like where the story's going. I like, supposedly there's a reason for every member of the Kronos Court being there. And we actually, I think we kind of see some of the reasons in this issue.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So,
but, you know, like I said, it's nice to see that the story is coming together and it's, you know, it's building up towards a conclusion. And that's really the most fun right now. Alrighty. Dirt, you got anything that you read this week before we start doing like rapid fire? Because I've got like a decent list. I'll just throw like quick blurbs about.
I can do a couple of them real quick here.
Alrighty.
Letter 44 from Oni. This is another Soul
production. Yes.
This is his half sci-fi, half political thriller book. And the one of the ongoing themes of the book is that the old president was hiding a bunch of secrets. And when he left office, he wrote them all in a letter to the new president. And the new president was the 44th. That's why it's letter 44. It's like, here you go. Here's all the secret stuff that's been going on, including all the stuff in space. And they really treat 43 like he's this big pompous jerk, and they go and they basically pull him back in because they want to get to the bottom of some of these secrets and some of the stuff that's going on, and they make 44 actually writes him a letter about how he doesn't trust him, he doesn't believe him, blah 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 on whatever, and he looks like a giant jerk. So it's like you spend all this time kind of looking at, you know, well, this old president must have been a terrible guy and this new president has to clean up his mess. But then it kind of turns around here in this issue and you're kind of like, well, this new president's just as big of a douche as the old guy. And I don't know if that's just kind of one of those all-purpose, you know, like all politicians suck, you know, no matter what side you take. But it was kind of a fun little define the expectations moment. But the key to this particular issue is that there have been aliens out in space in the solar system doing something, and they sent this crew out there to try to figure out at least what's going on and report back to Earth. And you finally, in this issue, get a sense of what it is they're actually doing. And I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to give it away because it's the key thing of this issue. But, I mean, that's the big thing that happens in this one. So if you read the first couple and you were like, they're never going to explain anything, they're never getting anywhere, well, finally here in issue 6, you do get that. So you can see where that's headed, which, again, is kind of like we were talking about with Aquaman. There's enough in here that makes me excited for what's coming next, for where they're going in the future. They planted those seeds. We also got Faneuil number 2 from Awesome Comics. And, you know, obviously we had the guys here on the show before, so continuing off of that story, at the end of the first issue, his best friend basically turns against him. You find out that Daniel goes to stop these drug dealers, and his best friend was the, head drug dealer guy. Well, this issue actually kind of takes a step back, and it explains what happened to Daniel when he became this Grim Reaper, how he got the powers, how he started to get pulled back into his neighborhood, the relationship he had with his friend. And then you find out that his friend isn't actually the main bad guy. The main villain actually is someone in secret that you don't really know who it is. But he leaves the friend there in order to confront Samuel. And this issue ends with the exact same scene at the end of the first one, where they're having the confrontation. So it's a really neat storytelling setup, the way you're basically in the same spot. I think it goes a little bit further, like maybe it goes a minute or two beyond what you saw at the end of the first issue, but you're kind of back to that same spot, but now they've fleshed out the story, so now you're kind of drawn in a little bit more. So I thought that was kind of a neat setup for the storytelling, so I actually enjoyed that quite a bit. Let's see. Oh, I'll talk about my anti-click of the week.
Nice.
We need the term for it here. I don't know.
Yeah, we got to come. That's what I was struggling with earlier.
But our flush of the week, I don't know. For months, I was talking about how great Walking Dead had been.
Oh.
And how it kept you on your toes, and it was defying expectations, and it was doing all these neat, wonderful things. And then last issue, I went off on a rant, and I was really disappointed because it looked like everything was pointing to one particular outcome. And sure enough, turns out All Out War ends, the final chapter is out, wraps up this whole 10th anniversary, whatever they're doing, and it is just a complete waste of time, waste of story. And to make a long story short, just about nothing actually happens.
So it ended like a Marvel event.
Ah!
They did manage to stop one thing from happening, but they do it in such a way that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'll just throw this out there just for the sake of the conversation. If you cut somebody across the throat, what are the odds that they're going to live? Well, apparently in a zombie-infested universe, it's pretty good.
Wow.
You can just pretty much put some hands on top of that wound, apply some direct pressure to the throat, and they're going to be okay. You're going to be able to sew up that wound no problem.
Rub some testing on it.
So, put some water in the bottle, shake it up, more testing.
I got to the end of this episode and I just couldn't believe just how they pretty much wussed out on everything, and it didn't. I was just so disappointed. Mm. And if this had been any other comic, like, I would put this even a level below Justice League United, because you go into Justice League United, you don't really have an expectation. Whereas this was the 10th anniversary. They went bi-monthly. They were doing two books a month, or bi-weekly, I guess. They were doing two books a month.
Bi-weekly. Yeah.
Trying to get out there fast so they could go at a breakneck speed through this storyline to give the fans what they want. And then at the end, they just came out and were just out of energy and nothing. It's like, who cares? Like, at this point, I'm like, when the next issue comes in, I'll probably read it just because I've been reading it so long, but it's not going to have the same.
But so you've invested that much time into it. You got to stick with it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, a TV show goes in the 7th season, and you're kind of like, I'm kind of tired of this show, but this is the last season, so I might as well watch it. It's kind of like that type of feeling. But it was the most disappointing thing I've read in a long time.
Wow. Wow, you heard it here first, folks.
So there you go. All right, back to you.
All right. So I'll throw out some rapid fire reviews. Daredevil number 2, Wade and Samney still doing some great work. The Shroud is reintroduced to the Marvel U, and he's definitely got a different take on him. Wade has a different take on him. Let me say this, though. With the relocation to San Francisco, it's kind of weird because the X-Men were just there. And some of the characterizations of the city of San Francisco and how they're treating or reacting to having a resident superhero who's, kind of got a public identity, who definitely has a public identity. It's kind of weird because we just had, they just had a bunch of heroes calling San Francisco home not that long ago in the X-Men. And they were supposed to be, on relatively friendly terms with the mayor up until, Battle of the Atom, right? So, it's kind of weird that, we sort of glossed over that fact. That's Marvel for you. You're saying?
I was going to say, I originally was going to try to keep up with Daredevil, but I think that's going to be another chopping block book for me.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I think it's a fun read. It's just, you know, that kind of took me out of the suspension of disbelief just for a second. Elektra number one was an interesting read. I was telling Tim just before we went on the air that the villain in this, or at least one of the villains in this, has a kind of interesting premise. I won't spoil, but the art in this was pretty good. It's definitely new reader friendly because it does, do a quick recap of who Elektra is and why she's motivated to do the things that she's doing in this book. It definitely illustrates that and explains that. So it's definitely new reader friendly. I don't know if I really want to read the next issue, but you know, that villain is just quirky enough for me to see, and what happens, you know, kind of cliffhangery at the end of the book, you know, does make me want to see what happens in the second issue. So I guess I'm gonna, you know, not hem and haw and just say, yeah, I'll look at the second issue and read that and see how it goes. Batman Eternal number 3. I read this. It does seem like this story is kind of a, I don't know if it's a rehash, but it definitely feels like the long Halloween story. Did you read this, Derek?
I haven't had a chance to finish it all.
Okay. Did you read Batman Eternal number 2?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what I'm talking about when I talk about Long Halloween, right? Like some of the you read Long Halloween too, right?
Years ago when it came out.
Okay. But some of the characters that are kind of, that were central players in that, all of a sudden are starting to become players in this Batman Eternal storyline. So that's, you know, when I first started to read this, I'm like, wow, wait, this is starting to sound a lot like, you know, the Long Halloween story. So I'm willing to see how this plays out. Obviously, there's no holiday killer, but, you know, some of the characters, they have a lot of shared characters in common. So, you know, that was like the takeaway I got from this. Like, you know what? I see that they're trying to, you know, to farm that particular group of characters and to make that relevant again, I guess, in the New 52, because, you know, like you said, Long Halloween's been long, you know, it was a long time ago. I don't even know if it's in print anymore in the trade paperbacks. So
I'm sure it is. I'm sure you can get a Comixology and stuff. Yeah.
True enough. So, and finally, one of the more confusing reads of the week for me, I don't know if we're going to create a new category for that, was Batman Superman number 9. Did you read this?
I couldn't finish it. Like,
because it was confusing.
About halfway through, I just had to put it down. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get back to it or just wait for the next arc.
It was confusing.
I'm still having the problem with Jay Lee artwork.
Okay.
There's no
backgrounds.
No backgrounds.
But there's also, I think this issue more so than maybe some of the other ones, there was no flow to the action. You know, like it was kind of hard to follow.
Yeah. That was the other big problem that I had with it, is that there was nothing leading your eye from panel to panel. And he did a lot of stuff where he'd have these weird angles, like down low, looking up at people. And it was kind of hard to tell sometimes, like, what exactly they were doing.
Right.
You know, like what the pose was supposed to be. And something would attack, and you'd see like this creature jump out at him. And it would just kind of be like this mass of pinkish body part. You could tell like that's an arm and that's a leg, but you couldn't really tell like where the head was. And it's just kind of like plowing into him. And it just got to a certain point where it's like it shouldn't be this hard to read the comic.
Agreed. So, I mean, the story was even confusing to me, so I was just, you know, I struggled my way through it. So, you know, if Justice League United number 0 was like the anti-click of the week, this was my very confusing click of the week.
It's also one of those books where there's a lot of like weird technology and these these machines that people are building that do this weird stuff.
Right.
And all he does is draw like a giant circle, which is supposed to be like the ball of energy, and then a whole bunch of black tubes. And you never get a sense of like how it works or how it's connected or how they interface. You know, it's just kind of like, well, we need a machine. It's like, okay, well, here's a bunch of tubes and wires.
Right.
You know, and that's all you get.
That's funny.
Yeah, but the toy man builds this suit, this like power suit for Superman to wear, and it's got like the face of a China doll on the front of it, and these weird antenna. I could understand if it looked like a mech, like if it looked like some sort of robot battle suit or something, but it really just looks like Superman with a China doll face. It really doesn't look that good.
I was very disappointed when I saw the reveal. I was like, wait, what? So I definitely agree with that too.
Yeah, so I was not a fan of this issue.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So that's it. That's it for what I read this week.
Click of the week time?
Yeah, click of the week time. Let me see.
So we said Roddy Cat said his was Original Sin number 0.
Okay.
Mine is going to be, I've been sitting here kind of looking it over. Mine's going to be Uncanny Avengers number 19.
Okay. I'm going to go with, as much as I was talking about, how Daredevil number 2 kind of forced me to remember, San Francisco X-Men. I like the book, and I like, I like the characterization of, Matt Murdock and I forget what's her name, Kristen McDuffie, I think, is the female love interest now in the book, and how they're establishing a law practice and a relationship out in San Francisco, and establishing like a new supporting cast in San Francisco. So I'm going to make Daredevil number 2 my click of the week because I like where Wade is going with the story. And I like that they reintroduced the Shroud and they're giving him something, they're redeveloping that character.
You know, it just dawned on me, Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes out next week.
Yes. Yes. Now, we may be holding off on reviews for that because I'm not sure if I'm going to see it opening weekend, but we'll see.
I guess I'll go see it. I won't see it. I'll see it like Saturday. Click of the week time.
Yeah, I know.
I know, right? Your old reliable is not there this week.
I'm kind of flipping through the books this week. I'm really having a hard time because there was a lot of stuff that came out that was okay, like the new 24 came out this week, and that was okay, but it wasn't great. Mm-hmm. There was a new Star Trek this week. It was okay, but it didn't feel anything, too incredibly special. This is really
and even my Uncanny Avengers pick, it's not like it was awesome, but it was probably the best thing I read.
But it's just one of those weeks where there were a lot of books that were good, but nothing really great. You know what? I'll go. If we're going to talk about a book that I read and enjoyed, I'm going to go out on a limb here with Duff Man Adventures, which is probably the one book I enjoyed the most this week.
Is that a Simpsons book?
That's the Simpsons special.
Duffman
Adventures. It was basically, it's centered around the Duffman character, and it went into some of the wacky adventures and how he tries to have a normal life and he doesn't quite work out and all of that kind of stuff you would expect. But the key thing, and this is part of what made it so awesome, is that in the middle they actually had a cardboard mask that you can cut out and cut the little holes in the eyes and put it on. You can have your own Duff Man face, which when you have gimmicks and comics, it doesn't get much better than a Duff Man mask.
That's kind of cool.
So I'm going to say, of all the stuff I read this week, the one that probably put the biggest smile on my face was Duffman Adventures.
That's going to make me want to read that now. That's pretty cool.
Well, you know, and it's one of those things. It's senses. So it's not continuity.
Right.
You don't have to worry about, you know, did you read the previous Duffman appearance? You know, like, that doesn't matter.
The previous. Just take it up and read it.
All you need to know is that Duff is the beer and Duffman is the pitchman. That's right. Oh my goodness. That's
all right. Funny. So did
that's probably the most unlikely click of the week pick from you, Dirt, in a long time.
So Agent 70, you gave yours, right?
Yeah, Daredevil number 2.
Oh, okay. So Dork Heek has tweeted us his. He picked Avengers Undercover. His only quibble is the artistic depiction of the female characters, which I have to agree with. It was kind of he had them in the typical female poses.
What
made it kind of funny was like they were in like evening wear, not evening wear, but fancy party dress wear.
Okay.
So like short dresses and whatnot.
All right.
I do want to say real quick, Roddy Cat asked on Twitter about Robotech Voltron, which I did read this week.
Nice.
It actually is pretty good. It's a little confusing though, because one of the things that they set up in this book is that it's actually parallel universes that they think have somehow gotten crossed, because the people from planet Eris, they look human and they run tests on them, and like the blood seems like human blood, but they're like these weird trace elements that they can't quite explain. So they figure they must be from a parallel universe, which if I do a blood test on somebody and I see something weird in my blood, the first thing that runs through my mind isn't, oh, they must be from a parallel universe, you know. But regardless, the team, the Voltron Force, has kind of crashed on Earth, and they're having problems with the robots, getting the lions up and running, and Zarkon and Hagar are trying to find their way to where Voltron is being hidden. Which it isn't hidden, it just crashed on Earth. So they're trying to open this portal and come through and invade Earth. So now all the Robotech people on Earth are gearing up for this giant war as, you know, Zarkon and all the evil forces are coming through. So, you know, for that Saturday morning, you know, fun box of stuff blowing up and, you know, all that good stuff, it definitely fulfills that. And they even went the extra step. Last issue, they had a misprint where they printed the same artwork twice.
Okay.
The word balloons were different. They actually did a misprint, so they reprinted the page that you missed in the last issue here in the back of this one. So you can go through and complete that story. But it was pretty good, but it was still a little, you know.
Okay. I was about to say, speaking of Twitter, shout out to at Dorkeekus, who fills in some of our knowledge gap. And tells us that Vance, regarding the Guardians of the Galaxy from the 90s, the Jim Valentino book, the characters were Vance Astro, a.k.a. Major Victory. That was Vance Astro, right, wielding Captain America's shield in the future. Martin X, Starhawk, Nikki, Charlie 27, which is the only other name I could come up with, and Yondu, the guy with the fin on his head. So, you know, shout out to at Dorkeekus for filling in that particular gap of knowledge.
Okay. So follow us, all of us, on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. Make sure to check out PopCultureNetwork.com. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and contributing to tonight's show, whether you watch live,
thank you,
or if you're watching a replay of the video or audio portion. Tune in every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace. News from C2E2 next week.